Like, I know so many straight guys who are obsessed with anal. Like, they're proper obsessed with it. I'm like, are you sure you don't want a bit yourself? And then they're like, no. And I'm like, but that's where your G-spot is. Like, it's literally in your bum hole.
Yeah.
So, like, I can imagine gay sex feels great.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you a bottom or a top?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two Night Stand, baby.
Welcome back to Two Night Stand.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm Bella.
I'm Jake.
And today we've got...
Johnny.
Johnny.
I forgot my name for a minute.
So, Johnny's my best friend in the whole world. We've got 11 years counting.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'm not going to be able to get a word in edgeways in this episode, by the way. So I'll just
we'll
check
let you speak
out
a bit.
Yeah,
speak.
Speak, Valentina.
Ally. I'd like to keep it on, please. So yeah, I thought there's no one better to do a gay episode with than my gay best friend.
Mm.
Which, you know, I'm not one of those girls who's like, I have a gay best friend, so I'm better than you. Not the case.
No, he's not just a token. They are actually friends.
Yeah. He was a token for about 5 years. After that, he just stayed.
No, we go way back.
We go way back.
I knew Bella when Bella was Brian. Maybe not good for the trans rumors.
We were going to announce that episode later on, but that was
imagine I just walk on for the trans episode like, me, hi.
It's me, yeah. You have your Nikki tutorials moment.
I do feel very Nikki today.
Mm. My mum.
Nicola gun tattoo. So yeah, I thought there was no one better to have on than somebody that I'm very close to, and I've mentioned many times on here. So I was just like, you know what, come and explain your story, mate. And so we're going to do an episode on the gay community.
I just, yeah, like, appreciate being on, but, like, I am gay, but, like...
what film is that from where it's like, not gay? Wait, oh, it's from About Time.
Huh?
About Time.
What, the one with the clocks on their wrists?
What are you talking about?
No, About Time.
About Time, when you go, yeah, I know. Yeah. I was on about the one with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, when
very different.
I've never watched it, but I always see the clips on TikTok and I'm like, I should watch it.
It's a good film. Yeah, very different film, but yeah.
But no, I was saying that, like, obviously I'm gay, but, like, you know, not necessarily a subject matter expert, so.
No.
I don't know.
Of course, but I mean, as I think we said in the last episode, that basically you're not, like, a spokesperson for the whole community. We just want to talk about your experience and, like, how it has been for you and whether anyone can relate to you and, you know, or if they've had a different experience or anything like that. Obviously, I've probably been there through majority of your journey, but I would want people to know, how did you come out?
How did I come out? Yeah. Right. Well, I came out to my mum when I was about 15, and still to this day, she was like, I had no clue, which I'm like, shook that she had no idea, because
I'm going to insert pictures of Johnny as a child and you can all
where are you going to get these pictures from then?
I'm going to ask your mum.
They're probably on a camera roll,
but yeah, probably,
and you can decide whether his mum should know whether he was gay or not, because honestly this child was like Louis Spence.
Honestly, like, looking back on it, I was having this conversation with her the other day. I was like, how did you not know? Because, like, one's vivid memory that came up is we went to on holiday to Fuerteventura when I was like 8, and obviously we all had spending money, right? And so my euros, the first thing I did is I walked into some, like, tacky corner shop in the middle of Fuerteventura, and I was like, I want those wigs, so I have to find the pictures. But yeah, so I bought one black wig and one ginger wig, and, like, back then, like, synthetic hair was twice as worse as what it is now. So there's just, like, these pictures of me, like, 8 years old, like, living my best life in these batty wigs in the middle of a foreign country. And I'm like, how did you not know? But yeah, so she still said that she didn't know. And yeah, but I was about 15 when I came out, and she was shook. But I think everyone else was kind of like, okay.
Yeah, everyone knew. Because, like, I seem to remember being in school and everyone was like, Johnny seems gay, because I wasn't, Johnny, me and Johnny didn't go to school together, but we were at separate schools where people were like, Johnny seems gay, but he's had sex with loads of girls. So yeah. He can't be. And that was the thing. It was like,
I think, like, looking back on it, it's like, at first I thought I was bi, but I think that's just like the traditional route that anyone who thinks that they could be attracted to the same sex goes down.
I think
did you always question yourself, like, I guess, like, if you were like sexually active with girls before coming out gay, was there always that question in your head of, should I be enjoying this a lot more, should I be attracted to them a lot more? Did you not really think of it that way?
To be honest, like, I don't really think I thought about it at the time.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of always knew that I was gay and that I had an interest in men, but I wasn't sure about women. So I was like, that's something I needed to try and experiment at the time. To kind of get it out of my system. But I think if there wasn't like the societal pressure there of like to be straight and that's like the normal route to go down, then maybe I wouldn't have. But I don't know. Everyone has a different journey and it's like, that's something that's part of mine. And I don't know, like, there's obviously the term referred to as gold star gay, where you haven't slept with a woman or haven't done anything with a woman. So I don't know, some people in the community are very like protective of that. It's weird, but
that was going to be a question to find out if that did exist. Do you find that there is then like discrimination within the gay community if you're not a gold star? Do you ever have those conversations?
I think with my gay friends, like, a lot of them are gold star gays. And then when you bring it up to say that you're not, like, there's that initial reaction of being like, ew. But like, no one actually really cares. And if anyone does care, then it's just a bit weird. Like, why do you care about that?
No, exactly. It's just like, imagine if you turn around to me and you're like, because you slept with a woman, I don't want to go near you. Like,
what if I said that to you?
So let's talk about Grindr. We did the lesbian episode.
That wasn't an edit, by the way. That was just Bella being ADHD and just changing topic.
No, because we have the funniest story about Grindr from when we were kids. So like before, I think it was just like just after you came out. We used to play this game. So the first one was that we used to play this game that we would guess the age of someone's penis on Grindr, because Grindr, for any straight people, is not like Tinder. It's not Hinge. It's like,
like, the format's completely different. Like, Grindr is essentially, obviously it's a gay dating app and there are like trans girls on there as well. So it does cover a large portion of the, like, the LGBT community. But like things like Tinder is obviously you match with people and you see different profiles and you swipe left and swipe right. Grindr is essentially a giant grid of all of the local users in the area, and they're sorted by distance.
So you don't have to match?
No.
Oh, you can just directly...
Essentially it's a giant database of kind of people in the LGBT community, because there's like, it's not necessarily just gays, but you wouldn't find lesbians on there.
Towards
gay men or bisexual men, so
This is how all the, obviously, like, the gay community know within their local area who is gay and who is that, like, how everyone...
Yeah, people come out.
Essentially, huh?
Like you can see who, like, isn't out yet.
It depends. It depends how open someone wants to be. Like, you still have to create a profile. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, it's not a sign at birth. It's not like a national insurance number.
Here's your Grindr profile.
Just have to register.
Yeah.
That's the official way.
Get the gay card.
You come out as a child like
that's
this.
That's why I couldn't dig your land to GAY. That's what he's asking about the membership. I was just like, excuse me.
Can you met up with Hung 1234 the other day?
But no, so obviously you have to create a profile and you have to choose to be visible. But there's a big issue on Grindr, and it always has been the case, is that a lot of people would go under blank profile, so there are no pictures. They'll still have like a description and things, but a lot of the time that will be men who are in the closet or maybe just not comfortable to share those pictures online, like even just them exposing themselves.
You can put like dick pics and stuff as your profile picture, can't you?
No, you can't. That's the thing. Like, that's banned.
It's banned now?
Yeah.
It wasn't before, no.
Kind of, like, it's never been allowed that you have full explicit content on your profile. Like there is like people, there is some modesty. But yeah, like it's not that like, you do now get banned. Like you can have like suggestive content on there, like people like topless or in their underwear and things like that, but nothing like,
yeah,
like, maybe even a bum, like you can get a bum out.
But you know, right. What? I had a chat with Cameo this week. They messaged me like loads of people were searching your name and so they were like, can we hold a meeting and get you to sign up to Cameo? And I was like, yeah, sure. And they said to me, oh yeah, you could do everything sexually suggestive, but you can't do nudity, but he goes, but you can have a hand bra if you want.
A hand
bra. So if you want a cameo from me, with me holding my tits and telling you happy birthday, then you're welcome to.
Yeah. I actually had no idea what you meant by hand bra then. I was like, oh, okay, that makes hand sense. Bra.
That was a good plug. Yeah. $24.99. Give them for Father's Day.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, yeah, so when going back to Grindr, when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
I used to live on a council estate, and behind my bedroom was just a row of houses. So one night me and Johnny were like, oh, let's just see who's in the area and we'll see if we can get them to come to one of the houses behind my house.
We set the scene a bit more than that, like we created this whole fictitious profile based on a picture of Bella's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then we create this whole profile and yeah, we just got bored and started messaging random guys. And then we were like, should we see if we can get one of them to come here? But like, not in our house, but see if they can knock on a neighbor's house and then we could view it.
Yeah.
But yes, it's pretty awful behavior for 14-year-olds, to be honest.
Yeah, we were really young. Yeah, we got one guy to come and knock at the door.
Yeah. So it was. I remember it vividly. Like it was this weird, like older couple,
right?
And then they turned up in like a smart car, and we were messaging them, and they were like, "Yeah, just come knock on the door. Like we're ready and waiting." And I remember one of them getting out of the car, and they were like, "Oh, what number is it? What number is it?" And then we were like, "No, just come knock on the door." And then they got weirded out, and then they left.
But, so it was a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, for the price of one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we spoke about this last week with Ethan, with the fact that a lot of people assume that as a bisexual couple, they are together, they are open, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's, we've spoken about that in the gay community, though. Like, a lot of people go open after a couple of years, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've never been in a relationship like that, but like from the observations I make from the community is that I don't know, I think a lot of gay men struggle with being monogamous. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Monogamous.
There must be examples of long-term monogamous relationships in gay men.
Or just look at the media. There's no real stereotypes. That's the wrong word. What's the word? Chloe, you know what the word is.
I guess I'm just...
What's the word? Archetypes? No.
Stereotypes?
Sorry, no. Wait, what, there's lots of
role models.
Yeah,
there's no role models in the media that really show healthy gay relationships. Like, don't get me wrong, we get the occasional like Sainsbury's advert of two men holding hands.
We even went to IKEA the other day.
Stop.
And in one of the bedrooms that they'd made up in IKEA, I was like, this doesn't look like a man's bedroom. And then literally above the bed was a picture of these two gay guys kissing with a pride flag behind them. And I was like, IKEA made a full bedroom that looked like a female bedroom, but this guy was a male ballet dancer and like his boyfriend, he had a picture of his boyfriend.
It was really cute, actually.
I was like, what an idea.
Like,
isn't that like pushing the stereotype a little far though?
I think
no,
so.
But like everyone has a bedroom, do you know what I mean?
Not like, pictures of their self doing ballet. Too.
No, yeah, but you know.
Where's your ballet
fix sleep
then?
In bedrooms?
Yeah, exactly. No. You get out of the dungeon every now and again. But no, like, I don't know. Inclusivity is like a popular thing at the moment and so many companies are trying to jump on the bandwagon, and I think there's a right and a wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, you see, like, look in the media, like, even recently that Dylan woman from TikTok, you know, she's
Dylan Mulvaney.
That's the one. Yeah. The trans influencer. She did a campaign with Bud Light.
Yes.
Was a spokesman.
Yeah.
And everyone... obviously in the US, predominantly like these crazy rednecks. Like,
yeah, I'm sure it was just a can that was given to her because she did an advert. I think it was just one can that had her face on it that was gifted to her.
Maybe. Like,
and then, but she did a campaign on it, but just said like, buy a Bud Light basically. Obviously got paid to do an advert.
Yeah, she was
none of the cans had them on there. And all, yeah, these redneck
people. It was a very brave and bold statement from them because I think they know who their market is as well.
Yeah, obviously it's going to work, isn't it? Yeah. Everyone's going to be talking about Bud Light. Bud Light
was traditionally marketed like not to, like it's more... the womanly kind of beer.
Skinny
version.
Yeah.
Skinny beer.
Not that you see like skinny women drinking beer anyway, but...
excuse me. I had lipo actually.
But yeah, I don't know, but bringing it back to like inclusivity, everyone's doing it. Mm. And
yeah, I think there's a way of doing it tastefully.
I think
when you actually care about like the cause and actually being truly inclusive, I think that shows, but when some like big corporate brands just slap on a rainbow logo, like it's really, I don't know, it's not necessarily heartfelt.
No, it's like,
and you see like large companies like
didn't the John Lewis advert have two gay guys in it last year? Maybe. The Christmas one.
You know, I don't watch much TV, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't either, but I swear, I think it did. Maybe. But it's that, I think that feels very synthetic to me when they're like very obvious straight men.
Yeah.
Like just shoving them together and be like, you two kiss.
You kiss now for money. But no, I was saying like big brands like BMW and things, like they'll slap a rainbow logo on during Pride Month June, but they won't slap a rainbow logo on their like UAE accounts because obviously it's like banned and outlawed there.
Yeah.
So it's like you're being selective with your inclusiveness based on geographical location, which is not true inclusivity.
Or being an advocate. It's true advocacy either because you're not like trying to promote the message because you're hiding it.
No, of course,
you're
just being selective.
Yeah.
And obviously they probably think about like, will this impact sales in that region and stuff?
Which is why I think it was Lewis Hamilton that did it, didn't he? He had he insisted on wearing the rainbow helmet during the the Dubai.
Oh yeah, and the World Cup this year. That girl, was her name Alexis, the TV presenter.
Yeah.
She wore the band, and so did Harry Kane.
Mm. And yeah. I think like one of the main BBC presenters, he was wearing a LGBT watch.
Yeah, so they were doing it.
Yeah,
and then they were going to like stop him from coming into the stadium. They're like, "Well, you can't because he's literally like presenting the show."
It's just like. It's a rainbow, get over it.
Yeah.
And it's not even, that's not even just like a gay thing. That's the rainbow is everyone.
It's an everyone thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the colours.
It's an NHS thing.
Oh my God, how annoying was that during COVID?
Where did that come from? Because I remember the rainbow and I think I assumed it was like an LGBTQ thing, but it wasn't.
I think everyone did, but it's, in general, it's a symbol of hope. And I think that's kind of what the message that they were trying to do. But then,
it from the gays.
A lot of gays like popped off online to say that like, it's like ours, but I don't know, just share it.
One thing about Johnny is that he's chronically online. However, he should be an influencer, but he doesn't post. You know, we all have that one friend who's like, if you just posted just a bit, people would love you. Like, so I was like, I'm gonna have him on here and see if it does anything.
This is the first step. He's gonna see Johnny everywhere.
Yeah. I'm gonna be on the Sainsbury's advert.
I'm joking. Yeah, no, we don't have that kind of platform.
I'm gonna put you on the Sainsbury's advert.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get you to kiss a straight man.
Not again.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. So you got your coming out the way.
Yeah.
When was the first time you had sex with a man?
I don't know. I think I was probably like 15, 16. So like, obviously I slept with girls first. And then once I'd slept with a man, I was like, okay, no, this feels right. And
I'm gay.
Yeah, I'm gay. Like, it kind of just confirmed what I already knew.
Yeah.
But it kind of confirmed that I didn't have an interest in women because the way that it felt with a man was like completely different. Like, and
that's one thing that I really don't like. A lot of people really sexualize normal mundane things, but when it comes to men having sex, they're like, that's disgusting. I'm like, you do realize where your g-spot is? I say it to you, don't I? Even though like I with whatever your personal preference is, I would never force you to do anything, but it's when guys Like, I know so many straight guys who are obsessed with anal. Like, they're proper obsessed with it. I'm like, are you sure you don't want a bit yourself? And then they're like, no. And I'm like, but that's where your G-spot is. Like, it's literally in your bum hole.
Yeah.
So, like, I can imagine gay sex feels great.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you a bottom or a top? I know this.
I know this. I'm verse. Like, it's good to keep your options open, but I think it really depends on...
So what different types of gays are there? Like, you said verse.
I've just heard some, crazy words being thrown about before coming on to this.
Do you need a lesson?
Yes, I do.
Well, so yeah, traditionally you say there's a top or a bottom.
Yeah.
But there's other elements to this as well. So there's different categorizations. So people can be exclusively a top, which means that they don't like anything in the back end.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And do you identify as a top?
No, I identify as verse. So... So you have a top and a bottom, right?
Yeah.
So tops are usually the givers and the bottoms are the receivers. So when you have someone who's verse, it means they're versatile. So it means that they like to do either.
Yeah.
So
but those three words, that's what they're known for. So when you were like introducing yourself to someone, you would say I'm a top. Hi, I'm Johnny and I'm a top.
I'm Verse.
Yeah.
No. I'm not saying is it the first thing that comes up in conversation? But no. Like, is that how
if you're looking for a relationship, would that be a case?
Kind of. It depends. Like, some people are really comfortable disclosing that information and some people just think it's a bit more protected, and it's not something necessarily you should lead with.
I personally don't think you should lead with that. Because imagine if you did, because you were just like, you're confirming that, hi, this is what I like during sex. Like, what?
Well, it's just like any walks of life. As if we went on our first...
Hi, I'm Bella. I love anal. Like, I love receiving. I'm not a pillow princess. Huh?
That's why you introduce yourself?
Exactly. So why would a gay person do that?
I don't know. I didn't mean like initial, like first interaction, like when you bump into each other in Tesco's. I mean like...
Oh my God, did you see the advert?
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It does come up in conversation, but it depends on the conversation really. Like, like obviously if it's two gay men talking to each other on Grindr, then normally like the agenda is around hookup culture and sex, so it'd be very pertinent to the conversation.
Well, obviously. Imagine if they meet up, they're like, it's like the Spider-Man meme, we're like, we're both bottoms. Like, what are we gonna do?
But yeah, but there's other ones as well. So obviously you have top and a bottom, like giver and receiver.
Yeah.
And then you have versatile who likes both.
Yeah.
But then some people call themselves like top verse or bottom verse, which means they have a preference towards topping, but sometimes they bottom.
Yeah.
Or they have a preference to bottoming and sometimes top.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all kind of exclusive to anal sex. But then there's a whole other categorization, which are called sides. So these are people who don't enjoy anything to do with anal sex, but they will do everything else. So,
And is that a common thing within the gay community that people aren't in
side?
Not interested in the anal side of
sex. That's what the side men are.
Yeah. Grow up.
I just thought of like, who's in the side men?
A lot of, just to confirm KSI, I do not agree with this.
Top bum licking KSI. Could you imagine KSI sitting on the side?
Yeah. There goes the Prime sponsorship.
God damn it. We've had the Prime bottles in the background of whole of season one. You destroyed everything I was working towards.
Some would say they were just sitting on the side.
I think it's more common now. Like I feel like the term was only like recognized in the last few years.
Never heard of that.
Like they've always existed, but like the term side has become more popularized in the community.
Mm.
But yeah, some people just don't enjoy anal sex or anything to do with the anus.
Well, some people have got piles and that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally valid.
Is it time to talk about your piles?
I don't have piles. I don't know. What are you talking
piles
about?
Yeah,
because I mean, things can happen. I want to talk about PrEP.
You want to talk about PrEP?
Yeah. You told me you're on PrEP now.
Yeah.
So it's a massive thing in the gay community. Even as a sex worker myself, I get asked if I work with bisexual men. For the sole purpose of asking me to go on PrEP. So I thought I'd just, because as someone who is on PrEP, I guess you should talk about it.
I feel like, or anyone who doesn't know what PrEP is basically like a drug that you take either event-based, so before you're about to have sex, mm-hmm. or you can take it every day.
Right.
You just need to make sure you have enough of this drug.
It's daily?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you have two options of taking it. Depends how you want to do it, but a lot of people like to just take one pill a day because you know that you're constantly protected, but it protects you 99.9% against contracting HIV. Obviously, HIV isn't just for the gays, it's for everybody.
Because we get asked about Africa, African men as well, like, and stuff like that, which is, like, the thing is that some people would probably find a little bit of offence in that, but I think generally when you go to sexual health places, they do ask you for the places that are most prominent for HIV. So like when I first saw the bisexual question, I was like, why should that matter? So I had to ask, and I was like, why would it matter whether I was working with women or men regardless? Because, and I said, the thing is, I don't know if I'm working with bisexual men, because 9 times out of 10, as we said last week in the bisexual episode, is they don't know, they don't come out as bisexual until a lot later. So I don't know. So they've said to me basically, yeah, obviously it's more likely men are men, but also things like hep B, I had to have my jab for sleeping with bisexual men, because just mad.
It's not even necessary like the risk of like passing it on to somebody, because like a lot of these things like hep B, hep C, HIV, like it's not necessarily you're more exposed to it because you're having anal sex. It's because when you have groups like gays and they're smaller groups and they're normally close-knit communities, so it's easier for things like diseases and stuff to spread in these smaller groups.
So
that's why normally, well, with PrEP and things, it's more available and it's more based around the conversations when you go to a sexual health clinic, because of you're in these smaller groups. But I'd urge everybody, like, if you're having regular
don't get emotional.
Everybody take their PrEP.
you
heard me. But yeah, I think it's important, because if, like you said, if we can stop the spread of HIV,
100%.
It will never develop into AIDS.
When did PrEP come about? Because I just feel like this
only
is completely
a years ago, wasn't it?
Passed me by. Like they've literally. It's 99.9%. You've pretty much cured HIV, which is crazy.
Well, they basically got rid of AIDS now.
Not many people have contracted AIDS or from HIV turning into AIDS. And then they're looking to eliminate kind of HIV by
which is
X
mad.
Because we spoke about it in the STD episode. You asked about AIDS, and they've basically eliminated.
Yeah, no, I do
spoke
remember.
A little bit about PrEP in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just thought it'd be better to obviously, is there any side effects of PrEP that you've experienced?
For me, no. But like a lot of people can get headaches and things like that. But and I'm sure there's other symptoms.
It's not the worst thing in the world, buddy.
No, but yeah. But I think what people need to remember as well, that it's only to prevent against HIV. So I think a lot of people in the gay community go, oh, I'm on PrEP, and then we'll still not use condoms.
Which
to protect yourself from like chlamydia and gonorrhea and all the other ones like syphilis and stuff, like you still need to be using condoms. So I don't know, it's that is really good in terms of HIV, but I don't know, I think it makes people a lot more relaxed. Jesus Christ, give me that coffee.
I think with the gay community that there's a, I mean, thinking about it, like people will always say, oh yeah, gays like meet up and all have sex with each other, but I'm like, literally swingers parties exist like on the reg. So
that's what they say, that don't they, that now I think since like the AIDS crisis and everything, like, there's protection in the gay community, and the topic of HIV and AIDS has been so important, but now studies are showing that the cases of HIV are more prevalent within the heterosexual straight community than they are in the gay community.
Well, because I guess that will be the community now that isn't taking the PrEP, right? So,
because when I was a life insurance broker, basically you have to do a medical questionnaire. So you go through, and there was this couple who were trying to get life insurance for a mortgage, and there was a guy who was working there, and basically you couldn't tell the couple, you couldn't tell the partner what the other person had disclosed in their medical health history thing. And basically the guy comes on the phone, this woman has HIV, she hasn't told her husband, they've been married for 20 years. So the person, my colleague, comes on the phone and he's like, oh, so it's been referred, which means that a doctor has to look at it to assess it, whether you can have it or not, have the life insurance. And she, he goes, oh yeah, well, because your wife's got HIV. And the husband's like, what?
That's crazy.
He didn't tell her that he had HIV, which she didn't tell him that she had HIV. So he was like, what? And then literally the guy who I worked with almost got sacked because you're not supposed to say anything.
Right. How long have they been together for?
20 years.
That means it's probably a high risk that he would have contracted HIV.
Potentially. Now. Imagine if she's just like, let's use a condom every time.
That's crazy. You do know, in that specific case, like, I don't know, it's hard to comment on whether she could have had it as well or he. But you do know, with people who still contract HIV these days, there are medications similar to PrEP as well. So
they still just live with it. Because I think that's the biggest stigma around HIV is that people are like, oh my God, it can kill you. And it's like the worst thing in the world. But actually these days it's pretty much you can have it. Because there was, who's that, the drag queen that had HIV? And then they basically were able to get it to a point where it's non-transmittable to anyone. Yeah. So
I'm trying to remember, there's a few like,
I don't want to say anyone's name just in case it's not them, but I think it is a non-binary person who's within the drag queen community in London, but I don't know.
I'm not sure. But as long as you're undetectable in your like viral load, they call it, it's untransmissible. So it's like a lot of people who have HIV still continue to have fulfilling sex lives. But and they are still very open about their status, but as long as you're on top of it and things.
I think if that's only come around the last couple of years, I think that's got to be a massive progression for the gay community in terms of being accepted. Because I think, what was that TV program
watched? It's a Sin.
It's a Sin.
My God, if you haven't seen It's a Sin, don't watch it unless you literally want to cry your eyes out.
Yeah.
It's awful. Like, it literally makes me want to cry thinking about it now, because like the way that the gay community were treated for having AIDS, HIV, things like that was absolutely vile. And we're quite lucky to be at a point in the UK, really, where people are more accepting of it. But obviously, like, yes, the homophobia and racism in that TV program is awful.
Definitely a good program there. Like, it's really good.
Watch it, but you'll cry.
Yeah.
But you'll understand the HIV and AIDS crisis much better.
So I have a question, and it's one.
Is it offensive?
No, it's not offensive. I think, you know, coming into this whole mini series as a straight man, as I keep reminding everyone, it's one thing that I've learned so far, and actually what the thing that's probably surprised me the most, because I always knew this was going to be a bit of a learning day for me every single time, there seems to be a real sort of like district sort of like conflict within the LGBT community. So we had Harley Russ on for the first episode of Lesbians, and there was the story or the view that gay men didn't really interact with like the lesbian community, and almost were actually kind of like rejected in sort of like the gay scene and gay bars and things like that. Like, have you seen that? Is that true? Is it like quite a well-known thing that gays and lesbians just don't interact? Or,
well, yeah, I think it's something that I've noticed.
Yeah,
like definitely. Like, I think in sort of gay clubs and gay bars, like, a lot of them are marketed towards gay men.
Yeah.
And you can see, like, in London itself, like the amount of like women only bars has decreased. But yeah, I think like me personally, obviously, I have nothing against like lesbians, and I like
what.
I love to have a night out with them, and I recently went on a night out that was specifically targeted towards gay women.
Right.
So, and I think, I don't know, there's definitely work to be improved upon about integrating. But I think, yeah, within our own LGBT community, like, there traditionally has been kind of issues with the kind of gays and lesbians kind of being united. But I can see why she said that. But
it is strange though, because you do find that I think it's just down to people at the end of the day, because you're not you're what you identify as. But there is a divide between gay, lesbian, trans, which is obviously not a sexuality but a gender, but it's part of the LGBT. I find that there's such a divide between all of the communities. It's very rare that you find them all together, them They all together. No, like you find like people, groups of lesbians, gays, whatever, all hanging around together. They usually kind of just like stick to their own little things that they can relate to.
But this is the thing I just don't understand, because obviously you've got things like gay brides that are there.
Gay pride.
What's a gay bride?
That are there to like advocate the whole LGBT community. But then the LGBT community themselves are like, they've got having little digs at each other, and they're not happy about the way bisexual men are doing things, or they're not happy with the way lesbians are. It's like, surely that I would just assume, again, being a straight man outside of LGBTQ, that there would be this big community feeling, but that doesn't seem to be actually true.
I think for me, it's definitely lacking. So things like Pride are great because it has people from all over the community like coming together to like celebrate Pride. I don't know, like for each kind of community, so obviously the LGBTQIA, so the whole spectrum of things, like I think we're very quick and easy to stick within our own categories, but not necessarily because of like prejudice towards one another. Like we still all respect one another. I just think sometimes, I don't know, it's easy to be contained in your own group or your own community.
Well, you can relate to them more, can't you? Can't really relate to a lesbian.
Yeah,
and as much on a social level. Like obviously, you could be the best friends ever, but like in that sort of situation, you're probably going to stick to what you know more than...
It's probably just the way that things have been set up as well, like you said. But if there's a lot of bars in London that are targeted towards gay men, then you're only going to really meet gay men. If there were more events where we mingled, not just Pride and things, then you'd get to know one another. But all of my gay friends have friends who are lesbians or friends who are trans, so... I don't know. It, like you said, it's really down to the individual, because I don't know, just because someone's gay or someone's a lesbian or someone's trans doesn't automatically make them a good person.
No, 100%.
Definitely not. Because we spoke about this with community. Harley, didn't we? Yeah. We were saying like, some people love pulling like the homophobic card.
Yeah.
Like, and just being like, you could say anything and they're like, homophobia. And as soon as you do that, I just shut you up. You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Do that. Speaking of homophobia, you ever been hate crimed, specifically in McDonald's? Stop.
Oh, we're going there, are we?
Have you ever had any experiences?
It's actually quite a funny story, so I will tell it. So there's this one McDonald's drive-through in Surrey. I'm not even going to name where it is, but it's very much known for having a prolific following of gypsies. Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
Travellers.
Sorry, not gypsies. Can't say that. I've just said it twice. Enough now. With a travelling community that lives nearby, and they like to congregate a lot. So I went
like
there.
The gays.
Just like the gays. It's basically Pride, but for travellers.
They're going to hate that.
No, don't keep that in. But yeah. I went there with one of my friends just to get some food, and then I came around the drive-through, parked up in one of the spaces, and all of a sudden I just hear like a bang against my car. So I was like, somebody's hit me, as you would. And then so I got out the car, and then it was this this woman, and I was like, you've just hit my car. She was like, no, I haven't. And I was like, well, you have, because I felt it. Meanwhile, there's a group of like 50 young boys and girls all in this car park, just like mingling and like just doing what young people do. And it was drawing some attention. The fact that I was like, you've just hit my car. And then I was going around the car trying to find where the damage was, and I just couldn't find anything. I couldn't find a scratch, couldn't find nothing. I was like, I'm not crazy. I just felt someone hit my car.
Yeah, you can always hear when someone smashes into your back doors.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then... By this point, so I said to her, you've just hit my car. I'm like, just wait a minute. I just want to have a little look, see if you've done any damage. If you haven't done any damage, then that's fine. Very calm. My friend's in the car. And then at that point, I've got about like 50 people shouting at me, like, get back in the car, you faggot. And I'm like, I'm just trying to check my car. Like, just leave me alone for 2 minutes. And then my friend's in the front seat of the car. Like, she's clearly getting quite panicked.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just going to have a little look. And then I was like, yes, no damage. We'll drive on. It's fine. So I had a little look around. So yeah, meanwhile, literally, like, imagine like the scene out of Shrek where they're like pillaging with pitchforks. Yeah. And yeah, couldn't find any damage. So I was like, oh, screw this. I'm just going to go to the other car park and I can have a proper look. And yeah, ended up getting back to my friends. Turns she had driven into my wheel.
Right.
Who thinks to check their wheels when you've been hit?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like minor damage, so it was fine. Mm. But like being shouted at by 50 young people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying that you're a fucking faggot. I was like, work. Yeah. No, but those things don't really bother me.
I know. And, like, I think that's the thing though, like, that there's like slurs that you can use specifically for people within the LGBT community.
Yeah.
And I think you have to really know someone for it to be a joke. Like we have the common joke of like, you know, we used to smoke cigarettes and yeah. I'd be like, oh, do you want to go for a fag? And Johnny would be like, what did you call me? And I'd be like, so it's like, that's a joke between friends. But I think when it comes to other people saying it, like if people ever joke around with Johnny and call him the F slur, I'm like, oh, I'm not saying it. I'm like, oh, no. Like, I remember when we went out once when we were younger, and there was this guy and he called him the F slur, and I went fucking mental. I was like,
when was this?
Do you remember I don't want to say his name, but when we went to go see down south.
Oh, okay.
And they were all so amazed that there was a gay man.
Did he call me an F slur?
Yeah, he did. Before we got in the car.
This is clearly how unbothered I am.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but you're not bothered, but like I was bothered. I was just like, because you know, there's just some words that you just like, that word just rubs me the wrong way. I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all about the intention, as you said, like, and it's one of those words where the community, like the gay community, has tried to reclaim. Like,
yeah.
Like me and my friends will say it to each other, but in a way that we're reclaiming it, and like words don't mean anything, they're just words. And I know that's like a deep Oprah moment, but I don't know, it just doesn't matter. It's just very empty.
It's like if you're like, for me, when I used to be fat, and I still, a lot of my friends,
you weren't fat, but yeah,
I was a size 20.
When?
You just never check
next
my clothes label.
Next question. This is Bella's hair.
No, well, it was when I was 15, 16.
Yeah.
And then I got really skinny. Do you remember?
Yeah, but I don't know. I just never saw you being that big. But no, like, it's because you weren't big. I don't know.
I felt big. But anyway, but obviously, people would call that fat was the main insult. And then after a while, it's just a very empty word.
It doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. Doesn't mean anything. And speaking of empty words, there's those different types of gay men when it comes to the sexual preference.
This is the question I had. Is this the bears?
Yeah.
I was going to, what is a bear?
No, so I want you to go through the scale of what every different type of gay men.
Because I've heard Luke is a bear and I'm intrigued.
Gay men have preferences, no, and they all have different types.
Yeah, like, there's like this traditional categorization of gays. I know, I'm not even sure where it's come from.
And I love it.
So just to confirm, so this is different to a top and a bottom and a bear.
Yes, so you'd be like, I'm a bear top.
Okay, so it's like okay.
But they're separate. They're not linked. So like your sexual preference in terms of being a top, bottom or a side is different to these labels or categorizations.
It's the way that you look.
Right.
Yeah, it's all based on appearance.
You would be an otter.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to go through them and then we can decide.
Jealous of the bear now.
I always get confused.
Bear's so much more like vicious.
So hang on, let me get it up on Google.
Yeah, get it up.
What does that mean? What do otters do?
No, otters is quite a compliment.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But is this different to like, you know, like when we ask people, are you a frog or a rat? Is this something different?
Yeah, this is
frog or rat is not directly linked to being gay.
Okay,
but you know, like people say you have a frog face or a rat face.
Well, no. Well, great answer. No, but yeah, the frog or the rat thing is very much related to your like facial characteristics, where these are relating to like the body and
maybe you're not
in general.
You're not an otter. I thought that otters were like had long torsos.
I thought otters were slim, hairy. No,
that's not an otter, but that says otter. Okay, so let me just go through them anyway. Johnny doesn't know what they are.
I know a bit, but yeah. I need some credible sources right now.
Let me just read them up, okay? So you've got otter.
Yeah, which is?
Yeah.
Which is a scruffy, generally young, furry, short-handed, strong gay. Just to confirm, they're not part of the furry community. They're like, they've got body hair. Yeah. You've got twink, which Johnny wishes that he could still be, but he's too old now.
To be a twink.
So that's a darling child, aka I don't like that. I don't like how that sounds.
What is
it? It says darling child. This tribe is usually young, between 18 and 25 years old, angel face, thin and smooth and shaved. So it's like you are still basically a twink.
Kind of.
You got like
the pounds
six
are coming thick and fast, and I'm 25, so I think I've got a few months left.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
We'll have a funeral when that happens. twink funeral. and then you've got Jim Bunny.
I don't think that's a real one, though.
No,
so we get a list up, or the list that comes off Grindr.
Daddies.
Not that I have Grindr, but you know.
Daddies.
No, but there's a list on Grindr. Definitely not a daddy joke.
Whenever I hear the word daddy, this is going to sound really bad until I finish the sentence. I always think of Johnny, but that's because you've got him saved in your phone as Daddy John Legs or something.
No. I have Johnny saved in my phone as Daddy Long Legs.
That's it.
But I don't know where that even came from.
I don't know.
I think I said it once and I was like, that's so funny. And then...
Well, they're called tribes on Grindr, right? So you obviously have Bear, which is like generally a big, bulkier guy, a bit more stocky, very hairy.
Yeah.
Luke.
Wouldn't say he's that hairy.
Rough.
No. Luke gives me Bear vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Confirmed.
And then, yeah, you've got Daddy, which is obviously someone who's like portrays the role of a daddy, but not necessarily like in a sexual
so they can so just like they look like a daddy.
Yeah, they just look like a dad. Yeah,
like they're an old man.
Yeah. And then you have like Jock, which is like normally like someone who's like goes to the gym quite regularly, quite built. Yeah.
That's because you're wearing a varsity jacket. It doesn't mean that you're a jock.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, Chad.
Yeah.
Is that it?
No, there's more, but I got lazy.
So this is basically
stop asking him questions. He won't tell us. No more questions.
No more questions. Obviously, we covered twink. Also, we covered there's geek in here as well. That's
geek.
Another tribe. Yeah, some men are like.
I like
gamers.
Gaming.
I hate that word. But you know, like G-A-Y-M-E-R. Nah.
I just shoved a controller up my pussy.
Yeah. Go away.
Oh yeah, also pussy. Pussy means boy pussy.
There's other ones on here like sober. Obviously people who want to label themselves as sober. Like, I can't relate, but I don't know. But there's other ones on here like pos. Like people who are HIV positive. So there's different, there's like all different ones. Leather, which is obviously a lot of people in the kink community. Like, it's not necessarily exclusive to leather. There's other kinks that fall under that. But
but they're kinky.
They're kinky.
Kinky men.
Kinky girl.
Yee.
But yeah, there's a few others on there. But
it's basically like
I forgot how to read.
So it's like your it's like your type, basically.
I'm
so
Jared.
If someone said to you, like, oh, like, who are you into? You would use that to explain.
Kind of like, I think some people are really more passionate about using it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'd just be like, yeah, he's fit.
But I guess like having conversations, as you have done, I'm sure, over the years in the game, so you know like what you would be described as, and you know how to describe who you're interested in, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
No, I've asked you so many times.
And then, I just don't know what my type is.
He goes, "Don't know what my type is," and he brings back the ugliest man ever. And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "This guy's kind of cute," and then he'll show me a picture, and I'm like, "Sorry."
Yeah.
This is like, bearing in mind, Johnny is a very, very attractive man, and it's like he just goes with the ugliest guys I've seen, like his ex boyfriend.
No, let's not go there.
I mean, let's not talk about it. But I was like, but I mean, I he wasn't bad looking, but just, I think it's the general consensus of like people that you show me and you're like, meh, and I'm like, no.
I just love medium ugly men. There, I said it.
Yeah, I know. I think we're the same though.
Yeah. Wow. Not your boyfriend sitting right there.
Am I your type?
No. I know we kissed once at skiing, Jake.
Did you?
You were there.
Wait, you kissed?
When we were doing that silly game. Oh, when we were doing that, yeah.
I completely forgot about that. You two kissed.
Yeah, I forgot about all about it.
I kissed Fred, didn't I? I forgot about that. Remember Fred?
You kissed Fred?
Yeah.
Did you?
Fred talks flying.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fred. The 18-year-old twink.
Yeah.
Would be a twink, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would be a twink.
Yeah, he literally is. Me apart from the 18, is he 18? Yeah.
Apart from the 18 bit.
He's 18 now. 18-year-old twink.
Yeah, he might. Is he 19?
No, he's 19.
I hope he is.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Do you like them older?
I love twinks.
Just grow up a bit more. But yeah.
I have another question.
Go on then.
Questions are welcome.
So, because again, I learned from Harley within the lesbian community that actually that there is even within the lesbian community, and there seems to be like this constant like division and districting within the community. Like she was mentioning that you have Brighton lesbians and you have London lesbians and MK lesbians, and they're all like that's how they're identified.
Yeah.
So now I'm learning that obviously within the gay community you're dividing things into like very much labels like bears and otters. Do you have like London gays, Surrey gays? Do they interact? Because it all just seems to be
there's definitely different gay scenes around the country, and they're normally within cities because gays just gravitate towards cities because there's more things going on for the community, whether that be like nightlife or different things.
Yeah.
But there's definitely different communities. You have London gays, Manchester gays, Brighton gays. But I wouldn't really say there's a gay scene in Surrey because I don't know, we're so close to London. There's always events going on there, but you're completely right though, like there's a lot of segregation even within a marginalized community already. Homophobia in the gay community is like prolific.
This is what I'm finding strange as I'm learning about it, because it's like all about advocating, you know, should be widely accepted, and
you can't accept each other.
You're building your own walls.
I think, I don't know, like the internalized homophobia is like a topic in its own right, and it's like much debated about where that comes from, because obviously when you're younger, you're obviously a lot of the time spent in the closet.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of this internalized homophobia comes from that, and even once you come out and everyone's super accepting, and depending on your own experience, a lot of that internalized homophobia still exists, and a lot of gay men can project that onto one another and other people in the community, like whether it be like lesbians and things like everyone has some form of this internalized homophobia. So.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy for people to internalize any sort of feeling. Again, same sort of thing when it comes to like, you know, if you thought that you had a big nose or something, and then you're like,
what's that point of that?
Yeah, I had a big nose once.
I lost something once. But, so say, for example, if someone says that they have a big nose, and then but they project it and go, oh, that person's nose is really ugly. It's because they're projecting. It's their own feeling on the inside, thinking, you know, I wouldn't be happy with that. So why are you happy with that? And I think it's very similar for feelings of kind of like guilt and shame when it does come around to feeling differently to how most people that you know are, especially in small town communities, have found. You know what I've heard from you and from other people, you find that, am I right in saying that the gay community, they're a little bit more internalized down in small towns rather than in big places like London or Brighton? Or
I don't know really, because there's not massive amount a sense of community in Surrey. There's not like they do a gay night at the on-site club at Surrey University,
yeah,
but that's like the occasional gay night, I think, like maybe like once a month.
Right. Is that Glitter Bomb?
Yeah. So yeah, we used to go to a couple of those because
yeah, I remember Global.
I knew a few people who went, but like there's not massive amounts of community. Like,
no.
There are like friendship groups that I know of, but never really been involved in. Mm. But yeah, so I don't know. It's hard to say whether there's more internalized homophobia here or in London because it depends on who you are.
I was talking about like small towns, like if you go to like Norfolk or something like that, like I couldn't imagine there being a very big gay scene there.
No,
London's huge though. Like, there's so many events for gay people in London.
Definitely.
Which we're quite lucky to be close to. Yeah, so.
That's I think that's the reason why.
You just have to step into the wrong part of London to be hate crimed.
But that's the thing, that's the reason why I've stayed in Surrey, because so close to the city, I didn't like a lot of gays. If you were in a small town and feeling really like ostracized,
yeah,
like you'd feel the need to move to a city.
Yeah. Do you end up like, because I know with how Grindr works, because you've told me in the past, it's not, there isn't much of a grind to it. Like pun aside, like it's not like Tinder where you got like, you have to like, a lot of conversation, you can get to the point very quickly. And then you say like, obviously within gay relationships it's very much known that it's almost like polyamorous to a degree. Does there become quite an easy resentment within the gay community? So say like you have got a gay partner, but you're hanging around with like obviously a lot of friends in the gay community. Do you have like this resentment towards people because you're like, he's going to end up eventually being with, you know, my partner, or is it just not viewed in that sense at all?
I don't know, it really depends on your relationship, but I know from other people's relationships that, yeah, sometimes if they're exclusive and they're committed to one another, like being around other gays and being in more on the scene, like there is concerns about people staying faithful. And I think that's why we see a lot of the times couples who are committed moving towards open relationships.
Right.
Mm. But yeah, it varies for everybody really. Like,
I think you find though that with men in general, you know, your testosterone levels are higher. The want and, well, to some extent, some men say that they need to have sex. It's like just one of those things. You know, the sexual side of things isn't actually an important part of a relationship to some men. Even in the straight community, men see sex as just a thing, and it's not anything to do with the emotional commitment that you have to someone. It's just something that is physical and purely physical, which is fair enough. But I think as obviously it's a whole community of men in one, you'll probably find that a lot more men are like that. It's like, you know, I'm emotionally committed to one person, but physically I could have sex with 10, 20 people. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I think it is just something that happens within men socially and, you know, just generally. Men feel like sex is very objective, and it's
like sex can be taken out of a relationship. Like a lot of people have happy relationships and their emotional support for one another, but when it comes to sex, like they're like happy to go off and do their own thing.
And
very much keep each other informed, or they'll even have like, do you know what I mean, group sex or and
that's
invite
what we were
going to
do, wasn't it, when we got married? If we weren't in relationship by the time we were about 40, 35.
I was talking about people having group sex.
When
were we organising this?
I meant going off and doing your own thing. Like, we couldn't get married.
I always warn you about the guy friends.
Don't worry, I'm gay. So, I mean, just to round this episode off, I think, is there anything that you would say to your younger self or anyone in the gay community that you would want to let them know? It doesn't have to be deep.
You made it sound deep. I don't know, just for your pride. No, not that. I don't know, just experiment and see what you like, see what you don't like, and you'll figure it out.
Well, thank you so much. Johnny has social media, but I don't think we... Do you want your social media plug?
Yeah, we're going to plug your socials.
We'll plug your socials for you.
No OnlyFans, sorry.
If you go to my OnlyFans, you'll see me pegging Johnny.
top tier content right there.
So yeah, as I said, at the end of every episode, we always say, have fun, stay safe, and always get consent. Which part of that would you like?
Have fun.
Okay.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Have fun.
Stay safe.
And always get consent.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like it?
Have fun, stay safe, and always get consent.
Two nights stand, baby.